time for What's Up with Carmel Cipollone from the Labour Party.
Morena, Carmel, how are you?
Morena, I am good, thank you.
Oh, good. Glad to hear it. Some exciting few weeks for the Labour Party it's been. We've finally got some policy announcement after a long break from the last one, and you came back strong with the $20 public transport fare cap. Tell us a little bit about, you know, the decision as to why this was the most pressing to make a return to policy announcements with.
Yeah, sure. Well, we know that cost of living is front of mind for most New Zealanders. It is the biggest issue. Affordability, just being able to pay those bills on the weekly. And so where possible, you know, we've really looked at policies where they can actually make a difference on the household budget, I guess. And so this is an important one, you know, for those that are in areas where there is public transport already available, then you will be paying no more than $20 per week. It will be capped. That can provide some significant savings to people that do use public transport, and hopefully will encourage a few more to jump on the bus or on the train.
Yeah, what do we know about the amount of New Zealanders who are currently using public transport enough to benefit from a policy like this?
Yeah, I actually don't have those figures off the top of my head. Those are probably some that I should have. But you know, significant in places like Auckland. And we know that this will incentivise a few more people to jump on the buses and the train. When I've been around the transport hub, visiting transport hubs and talking about this, people are really excited about it. People are paying, you know, significant amounts of money to get to and from work. We're fortunate in Auckland that there is a $50 a week cap, but, you know, $20 a week makes that quite a lot better for many people.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the $50 cap, because that's currently subsidised by Auckland Council. So how are we going to ensure that if you come into government, councils aren't just going to turn around and say, oh, cool, you're subsidising from, you know, $20 and more, we don't have to do any subsidies anymore? Are you still relying on the council to stay true to that $50 cap and then you just pay the in-between?
Yeah, you know, and we've received a positive response from council and councillors on this. They are in no way trying to resile from their responsibility or from commitments that they've made. They are really glad that the government is coming to the party on this, because they know how important it is for their constituents, for people that are resident in their cities and in their towns. And so I've got all confidence that they will continue to work in partnership.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You've forecasted that this policy is going to cost $65 million. What's going to have to go in terms of spending to make sure that is accounted for?
Yeah, so, I mean, that is less than 1% of the National Land Transport Fund. It is about priorities, and so we will be prioritising public transport. I don't think that comes as a shock to many people. I guess, you know, when we look at some of the commitments around transport, we've currently got a government that have committed to national roads of national significance, which is going to cost in the billions, you know, upward of 50, like around $60 billion. But there is no funding attached to that, no funding commitment. Whereas, you know, we've been very clear, that's the fund that we will use to pay for this. We will prioritise this. It is less than 1% of that fund. And then, of course, we'll make other decisions around transport as the months go on.
Mm-hmm. In terms of, you know, the response to this, there has been a little bit of criticism from people saying that perhaps, you know, such a broad policy isn't the best way to make sure that the people who really need the support are getting it. Something more targeted would perhaps be better. You know, we've had examples that people are pointing to, like the Eastbourne Ferry in Wellington, which could save some of the richest New Zealanders a lot more money than the average person who's hopping on the bus each morning. Should we be looking at a more targeted, you know, policy rather than something as broad as this?
Well, I think you have to think about the administration of these types of policies, how they're applied, the practicalities of actually making those policies work. This is easy. You know, it fits in with the current infrastructure in terms of the systems that exist for public transport across the country. You know, once you try to get more targeted, it becomes much more difficult, and inevitably you lose you leave people out. When I think about Auckland, although this applies to other parts of the country as well, when I think about Auckland, I think about those that are living in places like Takanini, Papakura, and the fact that if they are travelling regularly into Auckland City, they are, of course, hitting that $50 mark every week. Whereas, say, if you lived around Central and you're not travelling every day, then not so much. So there are certain people from certain parts of Auckland that stand to gain more. And in some instances, they would be the people that you'd want to target anyway.
Yeah. Let's have a little chat about the expansion to the apprenticeship boost. Tell us a little bit about the changes that Labor will make if they're elected.
Yeah, we know that this program works. We also know that moving forward with the pipeline of infrastructure projects and building that needs to occur in this country, we're going to need the tradespeople to do it. And so this is a smart investment as far as we're concerned. Also, you know, we have a whole lot of young people right now who are not in education or employment, and that's an indictment on this current government. We want to provide our young people with the opportunities so they can upskill and train so that they are then qualified to get into the jobs that will be here, and hopefully stop some of our young people from having to move abroad.
Yeah. The average cost of this is around $56.5 million a year over 4 years. Again, where do you think this cash is coming from?
Well, this is, again, you know, this is something that we're choosing to prioritise. In terms of our overall fiscal plan, that hasn't been announced yet, so that'll be announced closer to the election. But at that point, the plan will spell out how we intend to pay for the policies that we have announced. But we have been very careful here. You know, the reason why, in many ways, we were very considered and, in some people's minds, you know, delayed with announcing policy was we wanted to make sure that they were costed and we knew how they were going to be paid for. We think this is really important with respect to earning the credibility of New Zealanders as we go into the next election. And so all of the how we will pay questions will be answered when our fiscal plan is announced.
When can we expect that? Because it's July, we're getting into the election. We sort of were told by Labor that once the government had announced their budget, we'd see lots more policy announcements and your own fiscal plan. We've got the budget from the government, so is there any sort of hint at what the rollout is looking like?
Yeah, so we got the budget at the end of May, and then we've started announcing policies from then. And we will continue to announce policies between now and the election. We actually have one that we're announcing this morning that I'll be going to, that I won't speak to too much. But and then the fiscal plan will come a little bit later, after the manifesto is released, a little bit closer to the election.
So as a part of this apprenticeship boost, you've got 2 years of providing $500 a month to businesses who are taking on new apprentices. How are you going to monitor the overseas building companies, and overseas companies aren't using this as a loophole to gain taxpayer money?
That's really not been a consideration for us. We know how the apprenticeship boost has worked in the past. We know that it's supported New Zealand businesses with being able to get the apprentices in that they needed. It provided the incentive and support that they needed, and then also provided the opportunity for those taking up the apprenticeship opportunities. So, I mean, that is where the value is, and that is what our focus is on.
Right. Kamal Sepulani, thank you very much for your time this morning. Hope you have an awesome rest of your week.
Okay, you too. Thank you.
Okay.
See ya.
That was What's Up with Carmel Cipollone from the Labor Party.